503 on the Advocacy Commission. And we have a senator here with us who I'd like to welcome. And I understand you have to get to another committee, so if you'd like to come up and visit with us, I'd be happy to hear from you this morning.
Well, good morning, Chair Carno and members of the committee. Thank you for accommodating me. I'm headed for Senate Revenue where we're getting the revenue forecast this morning.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So we're all worried about that.
Yes.
Well, I am here to offer supportive comments for the Hispanic Commission. I do serve on the commission, and it really does serve as a focal point for the Hispanic population in our state. It seems that, you know, whether you're a state agency or a federal government official, an advocacy group, or a parent just concerned about your child's education, that everybody turns to the commission for information or referrals or support. And the commission gets calls from all over the state. And as the Hispanic community searches for information about available services or education opportunities for children, and they hear about the commission, they call and want to find out, you know, what is the commission about? And can the commission step forward and be helpful to all parts of the state? Last year, we hosted a Latino Youth Summit, which was quite a success. We drew Latino youth from around the state, and the conference took place at the University of Oregon, and you'll be hearing more about that this morning. We have been contracting with a very talented teacher to provide Spanish classes here and around the state. And this program has become very successful, and we have a long line of state agencies that have been requesting those classes. And they are successful not only because we have a very wonderful person who is leading that effort, but they also do more than just teach about the language. He also teaches about the culture, and people really get a lot out of the classes, and we're just hearing so many positive things about that program. So I guess overall, I would just say that the commission is stepping forward and really trying to be creative in how we reach out and do some things in the state. And I think the significance and importance of the commission continues to grow as the Latino population grows in our state. And there are growing demands, and I think we are kind of going through a transition time right now and trying to figure out, how does this small commission meet those demands? What is our role in this state? And really trying to, take note of that and really try to be effective for people in our state. And it's just very, very important, and I just strongly support it. And I know this is a very, very difficult budget for all of us, but I just hope that we can keep it going and continue state support for it.
Thank you, Senator Castillo. We appreciate you being here this morning, and I was interested to hear your comments about reaching out. I know Representative Butler and I certainly hit him over in Baker City and Baker County area and many other counties you represent that have a huge population of people that we're concerned about having them be able to. And I have a lot of folks in Jefferson County. They've done a wonderful job in putting together a collage of color, which we celebrate in May with the Indian Reservation and the Hispanic population we have. So it's kind of hard when you're isolated on that part of the county to know if your folks are getting reached. So I'm pleased to hear that you're having statewide ability to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And let us know what the revenue forecast is. Thank you for coming. Steve, would you like to, I'm sorry, I didn't give you an opportunity to ask any questions. Okay. Steve, would you like to go ahead? I knew she was in a hurry, so I didn't want to detain her too long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As Senator Castillo has mentioned, you're today looking at the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. This is the fourth of the four Advocacy Commission budgets that you'll be looking at this week. Prior to starting that, I did want to distribute to you some information that you had requested from Linda Ames.
Oh, yes.
Concerning the position step status of the executive directors in the four positions, in the four commissions. What this chart shows is it shows the date that the commissioner, the executive director was hired for each position, the step at which they were hired, where they are now and what is indicated as the full funding spent, that is to say the compensation that needs to be in their budget in order to allow the person who is the executive director now to be fully funded for the step increases that they would normally get during the next biennium. The final column is the budgeted step. The way that the reason why the budgeted step differs from the full funding step is the budgeted step is the step that would have been the full funding step for whoever was the executive director on what is known as the PICS freeze date, which in this case was April 13th of this past year. So, for example, if you look at the commission we looked at yesterday, the budgeted step was 8 because on April 13th of the last year, the person who was in the executive director position was at the top step, mm-hmm. and the budget allows funding for that. The same situation exists for the Commission for Hispanic Affairs. On April 13th, the person who was executive director was at the top step. So the budget for this ongoing biennium is at the top step. That position, though, has since become vacant. And although you'll be hearing that there is someone who is serving as executive director for the commission on a job rotation basis from the Department of Consumer and Business Services, technically the position is still vacant because this is not being funded from the Commission on Hispanic Affairs budget, which, you know, clearly indicates that the amount of funding that is in the budget for the Hispanic Affairs Commission for personnel services is higher than is necessary because there's no need for the commission, should it hire the executive director, to hire them at such a high step.
Questions of staff on this information?
Madam Chair, Steve, how do we bring some equality back into this process? Because of an artificial freeze date, we've got some absolute disparity, some real inequity, which is introduced into the system, and when we are dealing with advocacy for basically minority groups, I don't think it serves state government well to come in and create disparity as we're advocating amongst minority groups.
LFO is aware of these issues, and we are planning to address them in our recommendation to you.
Okay.
So that the funding, we would present to you a recommendation where funding for each of the advocacy commission budgets is based on our projection of what their costs would be, including their personal service costs. Again, I do note, though, that in the past, as a policy decision, not specifically as a budget decision, but as a policy decision, the legislature has in the past chosen to fund all commissions at the same level, same total dollars. And clearly, when you have a situation like that, where most of these budgets go to pay personal service costs, and the executive directors are not being compensated the same amount, if you fund everyone the same amount, it appears that this is providing equality among the commissions, but actually in a budget sense, that's not what ends up happening, because some commissions have additional funds for personal services, others don't have funds for personal services because for services and supplies, because their personal service costs are different. So this is an issue that I think this subcommittee will have to make a decision.
But isn't that a decision by the commission itself, or?
The commission, the positions are for all executive directors are in the same range, which is the level. The Department of Administrative Services Human Resource Services Division identifies a salary range or level for each position in state government based on the responsibilities of that position. All four executive directors have same responsibilities. And I believe it's the same actual, when there's a vacancy, I believe it's the same vacancy notification that goes out for all four of them. And they are allowed to be compensated at a range 24. What there is, though, is there's flexibility. The payroll system of the state has 8 different steps. And each step, when you go from one step to another, it's generally about 4.75% increase in compensation.
Are there 8 steps or 9 steps? There isn't a step 1, then?
There's step 1 through 8.
1 through 8.
Yes.
Okay.
And the commission or any state agency, it's not simply a commission, does have latitude as to where, when they hire someone, they choose to, what they choose to pay them. And if there's a situation where a candidate is particularly attractive and appears to be better than competing candidates, and that person is already has a present, you know, it's the same as in this sense, the same as in a private company, where if you want to get that person, you may have to pay them a little more than you might have to pay an alternative person. But you think it's worth it because you think that they have qualifications that you need to fill that position. But you know, they're essentially, if a commission chooses to hire an executive director at a higher step, then they will have less funding available in the current biennium for services and supplies. The way this budget system works, though, is for the next biennium, the current service level accommodates that higher salary increase. So there is a situation here where the commission, any agency, knows that if they hire someone at a high step, for that current biennium, they're going to have to finance it within their existing budget, but the current service level roll-up for the next biennium would include funding them at the higher step.
I think the agencies may know that, but I wonder if the commissions that elect or select an executive director in these various commissions recognize what will happen. I'm surprised if somebody's hired at a step 5, then at the next budget step they go to 8?
Well, what's going on here, they're hired at step 5.
Representative Johnson, will you have this?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And each year, the regular personnel process is to be increased a step unless you're found to not be doing an adequate job.
I guess that's what I'm having a question with. Let's go to, say, what we heard the other day was the Commission on Asian Affairs, whose current step is 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the budgeted step, it's 7. How does it go to? Am I not understanding this right?
No, you are understanding this correctly. Because you're budgeting for the next 2 years, in fact, the budget is going to have to cover through June 30th, 2003.
Uh-huh.
This particular employee would typically get 2 more step increases between now and June 30th, 2003, after 2 more years.
You start at 1999 on step 4, and you're looking at 2003 and going to step 7. And that's what you get. You're over a period of parts of 4 years.
And this is typical in all state government.
The step increases, yes, of one per year is the standard. You know, generally what happens, it's an exception when an employee is not awarded a step increase.
If full funding is 7, why is this one budgeted at 8?
The reason why is the budget is based on who was in the position last April. And last April, there was another executive director there who was at the top step. What this indicates is that that budget, the Commission for Black Affairs, has more funding in it than is necessary to fully fund that individual's compensation. If you look at the Commission for Women, they are budgeted at step 2, and they have far less funding in their budget than is necessary to compensate that.
But go ahead, Representative.
Madam Chair, I'm wondering, you know, we're talking about director range steps 1 through 8, and I'm wondering if the Department of Administrative Services takes, I know that we've had something of a slip of the cup between the hand and the lip relative to the actual hiring, the change of audit director, or the director change of audit, or the audit for the change of director.
There you go.
And the concern that I've got is that I'm wondering if there really isn't a potential for about two different kinds of ranges that should be discussed. One is a trainee director that you might want to attract, and the second range would be a director's range. Because it looks like when commissions go out and hire, and they say, well, this, you know, to get the very best, and I can't blame them for wanting the very best, we want to offer the top of the range, then all that there is beyond the top of the range would be cost of living, or are we all done?
The employee would be eligible for any cost of living increases that were applied statewide. That's correct.
So basically, we hire you at the top range, and you'll get cost of living, but you're at the top of the range, and you're all done. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually wondering if there shouldn't be a sub range for a director trainee, if you will, and that's a DAF question, I would think. But I'm also concerned about the potential to say, you know, anyone can hire, any of these commissions could hire at basically the top end. And again, I can't blame them for wanting the very best and compensating them, but it also blasts out of the water any potential for upside movement of that particular director, and may even encourage the director to go to the outside to look for other sources of weighing or of augmenting their own sources and methods of augmenting their own income.
Because in one biennium, they've reached the top end.
They're at the top end, and they're saying, hey, wait a minute, my cost of living is up 7%, and the state government is only allowing a 3.5% or a 2% or whatever it is.
And that troubles me. But also, when you look at the Commission of Women, who was hired at step two and is budgeted step two, which I can't understand, and they've gone out and raised $101,000, and yet we penalize them because I don't get this.
What?
And other agencies that we've heard, or other advocacy groups that we've heard, haven't raised a dime. I mean, I know it can't be changed, but.
Yeah. My only concern, Madam Chair, what Representative Butler is talking about is that I think it's incumbent upon the commissions to take some of those things into consideration when they hire someone, that if they want to hire the kind of executive-level director that you would have in a larger state agency and compensate them at the higher step to start out with, then they and that individual have to know where they grow. If they choose to take a person who is fully capable of doing the job, but isn't at that level, then there is some growth. I mean, it's just, to me, it's a management decision. I was wondering, do we have, Steve, can we get numbers for, I know it's vacant, but for the last position?
Linda Ames provided this for me, a request.
Okay. I just want to see what they were doing.
Maybe she can provide for you or do you know, Steve, what the...
Yeah, the budgeted step.
Is that where the person was as well? And I
yes.
don't know how long they've been there.
So the person for the Hispanic Affairs was at...
So they'd already reached that point.
At budgeted step that, 8. Okay.
Is that correct, Ms. Ames?
Well, I have a question and a comment, Madam Chair. There's apparently a lot of turnover in these positions, and I noticed that all of these people have been hired or not hired within the last 12 to 16 months. I mean, so these are fairly... recent, and I presume they're rotating through the positions every 12 to 16 months or something on that order. I don't see anybody that's been there 20 years like we do in a lot of the other agencies. My first question, and I have two questions, Madam Chair. My first question, Steve, is why are some hired at 2 and some hired at 5? I stepped out of the room, and maybe you did that, but.
The commissions are essentially management decisions on the part of the commission as to what to offer their prospective employee, their prospective executive director, and they have the latitude to do that.
All right. Second part of my question is, although these are management positions, these are one-person agencies. And the job description, if we would look at it, has got to entail a lot of typing, computer work, filing, having your spouse come in and hook up the networks. I mean, there's a lot of secretarial work involved. And that's not doesn't seem to me that's going to attract high-level managers.
Don't forget 4 phone calls a day.
I understand that.
4 phone calls
a day. I understand that. It's not a heavy workload, but it's not a heavy workload, and it's not an intensive high-level management position, it seems.
But I think it's a heavy workload if you look at what the Commission on Women has done to go out and do the things that they've done as far as the Women of Achievement Dinner. That doesn't just happen with a couple of phone calls. I've been there, and that's a huge lot of work to put that together. Yes, Representative Johnson.
First, a comment on what you just said, and then a question. I would amplify your observation. Raising $90,000 for a small commission in a year is no mean feat, and getting the underwriting for the dinner and all of the other activities that accompany that is intensive, labor-intensive. Forgive a freshman question, but is there not a mechanism by which there could be some standardization with the commissions, so that there were performance measures that spoke to the work of the commission, not the activities, because each one of the activities will be unique to what they're doing, but performance measures that spoke to the behavior of the commissions in terms of performance, in terms of fundraising plans in place, in terms of some guidance for expectations of what the work products would be. And then some kind of standardization about salary. It seems to me that we're sort of all over the place with salary and all over the place with expectations. Is there a mechanism to bring standardization to the commissions?
Well, I think Steve did address that earlier, but I'm asking to just
briefly
go. That's fine. No problem. We need to all be informed before we make decisions. Address that a little bit for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I had mentioned was that LFO would be looking into making a recommendation for the Advocacy Commission budgets based on the costs that they would be expected to incur during the upcoming biennium, as opposed to what is necessarily here in the budgeted step, where in many cases that does not reflect what's actually happening to the personnel costs of the commission. I don't believe that I had addressed your broader issue, however, of ways of standardizing and developing performance measures. One possibility that I think that this subcommittee can do is to work and to create a statement of expectations that could be placed in the as a budget note in each of the commission's budgets. Since you're talking about standardization, you would want to work to probably something that could be the same language for all four of them, but that would somehow convey to the commission what this body expects them to do in certain broad senses with the money that they are being provided.
I understood the second part of what you said. I'm not sure that I understood the first part of what you said. I like the idea of the expectations, but I'm looking for a level of standardization because to me it seems, I hesitate to use the word serendipitous or haphazard about how the money gets allocated. It seems to me that if we value the work of each one of these advocacy commissions that not having huge differentials in how much money they're given makes sense to me. Setting expectations that say this is the work product that ought to be created in exchange for the public resources, that seems to me to make sense, but maybe there's something legislatively that I don't understand or historically that I don't understand.
The ranges are from 1 to 8. The
right.
Desk sets what the ranges
right.
are. The commissions determine at what range they will hire their executive director.
Right. That piece I understand, but what I'm trying to get to is that if one of the advocacy commissions decides they want to hire their executive director at an 8 and the other at a 2, I want to try to find a mechanism that doesn't say, I mean, that says you get a fixed amount of money, and that fixed amount of money is standardized across the advocacy groups, and if you decide you want to spend it all on compensating your executive director, that's within your purview to make that decision. But if one of the advocacy groups decides that they want to deliver product and spend the money that way versus compensation, I would hate to see them penalized in an allocation from the legislature that isn't equitable. I'd like to see a situation where they're all funded equally, and they can make their own internal decisions about how the money gets spent. But
well, I think that, Steve, do you want to respond to that?
That is essentially what the legislature did last session. The legislature did fund the commissions equally. They weren't exactly equally because there were some adjustments made for statewide government service charge differentials. But essentially, what you have stated is what the legislature has done historically.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda, for this information. Yes.
Yeah, I'm interested in the same thing Representative Johnson is getting to for different reasons, but I think the equal funding is fair and equitable, and then, I mean, our expectations as we've gone through this budget seems to be that they should be doing quite a bit of fundraising and all of that. But I will tell you point blank that unless there is a work plan and performance measures, I mean, we're here till June, so they got some time. I'm not interested in voting on a budget for more general fund money that doesn't have performance measures in it, just plain and simple. And if there's one that is really having problems with that, then the very furthest I'm going to go is to give them a one-year budget and then schedule the second year pending that and let the E-Board deal with it. But I would really rather that they dealt with it in the next 3 months.
And I think one of the things that we will... Are you talking about a work plan in place
yes.
for us to review?
And performance measures. I mean,
We sound like we're in a work session, but I...
Well, I just want people to know where I'm coming mm-hmm. from as they try to figure out where they're coming from, because in a session where we're doing such damage to such vulnerable people in Oregon, I can't see just throwing money out there and hoping for the best.
Your statements are heated and well placed. I think that we are all feeling the same frustration you are.
Heated, is that with a T, E-A-T?
Yeah, yeah.
Could be heated and E-A-T.
E would be good.
Okay, let's see, where are we? Any further questions of staff? All right, we have...
Steve, do you want me to talk about the commission?
Oh, yes, please do. I forgot we did not do that yet. Please do, Steve.
I have distributed to you, and it is in your three-ring binder on the very top, a analysis or a review of the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. The Commission on Hispanic Affairs, the charge to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs in statute is identical to the charge to the Commission on Black Affairs, except that it relates to the Hispanic population instead of the Black population. That is, the Commission's charged with working to implement and establish economic, social, legal, and political equality for Hispanics in Oregon. The Commission monitors existing programs and legislation designed to meet the needs of the Hispanic population, and it identifies and researches problem areas affecting the Hispanic community and makes recommendations to both the governor and the legislature. The commission is charged with serving as a liaison between the Hispanic community and government entities and with encouraging Hispanic representation on state boards and commissions. The governor's recommended budget for the agency totals $322,000. This is the largest of the four advocacy commissions, the total amount of the budget. About half of this is in general fund, the other half is in other funds. We've spoken a lot about the difference between general fund and other funds in advocacy commission budgets. Basically, the other funds come from donations and from particular fundraising programs and activities that the commission engages in. The general fund is designed to support the costs of the executive director position, that is to say their salary and benefits, as well as state government service charges and some services and supply expenses. The general fund portion for the Commission on Hispanic Affairs is the highest of the four commissions. This is the general fund portion, and it is an increased approximately 24% from the prior biennium level. The other fund component of about $164,000 is very large, the largest of the four advocacy commissions, and the revenue that this
expenditure limitation is designed to accommodate our revenues that the commission receives from a program that it has to offer Spanish language instruction and culture, as Senator Castillo was referring to. They offer a program of these courses for state employees and the agencies that employ the employees who want to give some of their employees some basic Spanish language skills pay registration fees to the commission. And the
excuse me, Steve, Representative Butler.
Do we know what percentage of the of that other revenue for the language fees comes directly from state agencies?
I do not know that. My understanding is that all of the courses have been offered to state employees. That may or may not be the case, and I think we'll be able to hear.
Okay. And again, following along the lines of what Senator Dukes has requested, I'd like to know if relative to the state agencies that are kicking in some performance measure, are we able to, rather than just have the course, we're able to now have state employees who are able to at least respond to rudimentary issues in Spanish as a result of this expenditure.
Not aware of any type of information on that.
Okay.
Representative Johnson?
I'd like to take it even simpler than that. How many state employees took advantage of the offering?
I do not have information on that. It will become clear as I go through this discussion that I'm lacking some basic information about this agency's budget. I do not know, and I'm not sure if how well this information is known right now, how much these courses are actually generating as opposed to what it was expected that they would generate. If I may just...
As he continues, you'll see that there is an audit, so at this point, he's not even having all the information he needs. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Representative Johnson.
I guess this is another freshman question on a policy issue. I presume that the advocacy commissions are largely autonomous in developing what their mission will be, what services they'll provide. But given that there are community colleges that are also offering language courses, I'm just wondering of all, and maybe when the executive director has the opportunity to address us, whoever speaking for the commission, why it is as part of the advocacy to take on a program or a course of study that's offered in so many places.
Good point, and I'm sure someone will answer that for you, Representative Johnson. Okay, if you'll proceed, Steve.
Yes, I'd like to wrap this up as quickly as I may so that the public can testify. If you look at the second page, or the back of this first page of the memo that I prepared, the Audits Division of the Secretary of State is currently auditing the agency's expenditures and operations, and we are awaiting that report. The division expects to complete this report in approximately 5 weeks from now, but the actual release date is uncertain. We can't be certain that they will be done with their work then. We believe that the report is likely to find irregularities in the expenditures of the commission. The previous executive director resigned in October, and although the agency's general fund appropriation for this biennium should have been sufficient to finance the agency's operating costs for the full 24 months of this biennium, that's to say through June, the agency's general fund is essentially depleted. And there are no funds to support the commission's operations for the remainder of the current biennium. The agency's other funds from the Spanish language course revenues are also close to being depleted, and the agency has a number of unpaid bills. What the audit division report will do will be to address these issues, and it will make recommendations to the commission and to state government to improve the commission's financial operations. As I mentioned, the executive director resigned in October. There is the department, I'm under other relevant issues, the Department of Consumer and Business Services has offered one of its employees to serve as the commission's executive director on a part-time, on a job rotation basis. Formally, this new employee, Mr. Silva, who you'll be hearing from, just started on Monday, but he will be working with the commission for the remainder of this biennium. And that's really, unless there are further questions.
So in September, this advocacy commission came to the e-board to get the spending limitation, $37,000. For its Spanish class program to spend the revenue, and yet you said in the upper paragraph that is all depleted as well as the general fund portion.
Yes, there's I think it was approximately $7,000 as of mid-February in that account.
Okay. Any questions of staff, municipal staff?
Yes,
sure. Senator Dukes and then Representative Butler.
Steve, do we know whether this agency has brought in other funds besides the Spanish language person?
It's difficult for me to know. We were not told that the agency was generating other funds from other sources.
Okay. And then when an agency chooses to loan a staff person to another agency, is there a process for that? Does that go through DAS? Does that just happen?
I can't answer that entirely. I think there is some type of process.
Will Linda be able to answer that when we call her up later?
She's
shaking her head. Representative Butler.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you very kindly. The agency has a number of unpaid bills as well. And do we have any kind of a feel for what kind of unpaid bills we may have?
I had seen a list that was prepared in the middle of last month of a bit over $20,000. I don't know what the current status is, though, of that.
And the nature of those bills?
They were for various charges, including state government service charges, and charges for other services and supplies.
And one final follow-up on that. It's not DAS's policy to go ahead and just take those out of the account on a regular basis. I mean, DAS
the state government service charge?
Right. DAS is monitoring the funds, has access. They're the ones that when we turn them over, when we schedule them through DAS.
To be perfectly frank, I was surprised myself to see that these were actually being billed. There are two types of charges. There are assessments, which the charge is known, and there are charges for services, which would need some kind of billing process. But I was surprised that this situation did come about where these charges had been billed but not paid. I guess I don't fully understand how those...
The bank would be the first to have access to the funds.
Write that down. It looks like Linda can respond to us with that as well. Didn't you nod affirmative? Sort of.
Could I ask him?
Yes, Senator Duke.
And if we need to wait for the audit for this, just say so. But I understand how you can overdo your limit on other funds that you're depositing or not depositing at the bank. I don't understand how you can overrun your general fund budget that has to be billed through the state agencies. I mean, how can you overspend that?
I think this is what the Secretary of State is going to be looking at.
Okay, so we'll wait for that.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Any further questions? Representative Johnson.
I'll hold this one for the executive, but just so that he knows that I'm going to ask it. Are mechanisms in place to stop spending at this point so that 20 doesn't turn into more? Are there outstanding credit cards? Are there mechanisms in place to stop running up bills?
Okay. What you're saying is that you'd like to have whoever comes forward that can address that, do address
please.
It. For the agency overview, we have Dr. Tavino, member of the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. Would you like to come forward and introduce yourself? And we also have Dave Silva, Acting Executive Director, Commission on Hispanic Affairs. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
and as you begin, I will need to have you put your name in the record as to start your testimony.
Good morning, Honorable Madam Chair and members of the committee.
Did you get her name?
My name is David Trevino.
Okay, thank you very much. I have to be sure that our clerk can hear everyone's name so we know who testified.
Can you hear all right?
Yes, sir. All right. Yes, thank you.
As I said, for the record, my name is David Trevino, and I am one of the commission members of the Oregon Commission on Hispanic Affairs. Part of the testimony I'm about to give has been somewhat addressed already, but simply for the record, the Commission on Hispanic Affairs was established by ORS 185-310 as a statute for creating to work for the implementation and establishment of economic, social, and political and legal equality for Oregon's growing Hispanic community. It serves as an advisory board for the governor and state agencies and legislators. The commission is made up of 11 board members and 9 representatives of the community and Senator Susan Castillo. There have been several activities that have been undertaken by the commission. One of the big successes that we've had this past year was our Latino Youth Summit that was held in Eugene in July. We had over 300 youth attending the summit. Uniting Paths to Leadership was the title of our summit. The focus of this particular summit was on empowerment and activism that begins at local levels with students. It was a great success, and a great number of students and parents and volunteers and sponsors came to the summit in Eugene at the University of Oregon. Some examples of the workshops that were offered were communication and interpersonal skills, organizing student groups, network beyond our community, social change in the community, making choices, issues you face, and college preparation. There were a number of scholarships that were awarded based on academic performance of students. The organizations that donated money for the scholarships, these were $500 scholarships for students, were Chemeketa Community College, Linford College, the Commission on Children and Families, the City of Eugene, Willamette University, and the Oregon Lottery. There were 10 scholarships that were 15 scholarships that were offered to students. Most of these scholarships that were offered were first-time members of a family, Hispanic families, attending college. So they were very well received, and we were very happy to be able to issue those scholarships. Another thing that the commission has done is offer Spanish classes and culture to various agencies in the state. There have been over 14 agencies participating in the Spanish and cultural classes. Many of the agencies require diversity training, and we are very fortunate to have Professor Luis Soriano that offers these classes. Again, over 14 agencies have participated. To our estimate right now, there have been over 2,000 people taking these classes from the Oregon State Police, Oregon Department of Education, Department of Consumer and Business Services, the Department of Motor Vehicles, the Lottery Commission, the Liquor Commission, the Mental Health, and from the governor's office. All of the classes have been given evaluations as to the content of the class, the way it was offered, and without exception, all of them have been outstanding evaluations. The commission anticipates revenues of $164,210 for the 2001 and 2003 biennium. I, as well as other volunteers from the commission, see great importance of the Commission on Hispanic Affairs for our Hispanic and Latino communities, our youth, and the state of Oregon. We request your ongoing support for this commission in this new biennium. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I see on the back page you have listed some of your members. You have 11, I think, but there's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 listed here. Are there positions vacant?
We have some positions open, vacant, and some that are up for renewal right now.
I compliment you on having two east of the Cascades. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Questions? Representative Hayden.
There's currently a bill moving through the legislature to delay mandatory second language instruction in our high schools, which would, of course, include Spanish. And the Hispanic community has seemed to have a very low profile on this issue. Is this not a matter of concern?
Yes, it is a great matter of concern. Spanish being the most popular language and one that is mostly spoken by our language minorities in the state, there is a concern in delaying this language component. We have the SIM and the CAM that are benchmarks that are addressing the issue on the one hand, and on the other hand, it is being delayed. So, quite frankly, I do not know how that is going to pan out. Again, many of our state employees throughout the agencies are required to have contact with Spanish speakers, and the classes do provide some background, at least conversational. So the commission, with the programs that we have, attempts to address that. And certainly the delegation that was recently led to Mexico City by the governor and a group of business people and educators. Yes. Address the issue that there certainly it would be advantageous for our communities to know a little bit about the language and a lot about the culture.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
Well, I would hope that Representative Butler would be conducting his discussions with you in Spanish.
We have promised to give him classes free of charge.
Well, my question is that apparently about 47% of high school students are now voluntarily taking a foreign language in high school. But the thinking was that 100% should be taking foreign language, but we're deferring it based on economic conditions. To my puzzlement, the economic conditions of the budget for K-12 is the best it's ever been in history. And so if we can't provide Spanish now, I don't know when we could. And my question to you is, in view of the fact that the money is available, why don't you have 200 people in that Senate hearing room when they hear the bill and implement that program?
I think I tied that closely enough to budgets, too.
Yes, I think you did. I think you did, and I think... I think you may be weighing the potential risks of things that maybe people would see as not appropriate. I don't know.
I think that is a very good comment, Representative Hayden. Personally, I'm a professor at Western Oregon University, and I teach bilingual education to teachers that are in the classroom. Certainly a number of districts in the state have undertaken the job of educating their teachers in a second language so that they can address the needs of students. there seems to be a little bit of competition now with should we learn music or should we learn another language. This seems to be something beyond our expertise into how to handle it. How do we convince people that learning a second language is certainly to our advantage, particularly if we're wanting to do business with a country that speaks Spanish? Again, how do we address that? Why didn't we have a room full of people supporting this? I'm not sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I think what I heard you say is politically, you're not as sure about how to proceed as you would like to be. Representative
yes.
Johnson?
Thank you, yes. Madam Chair. I may have misunderstood your testimony, Doctor. I thought you said that there were 11 board members and 9 community representatives. Are they not included? Then there are only 8 souls on the roster. Is there a full complement of community representatives somewhere?
Representative Johnson, there are a total of 11 on the commission, and there are. I'm sorry. My name is Gabe Silva. I'm the interim executive director for the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. There's a total of 11. 9 of those are community members, and then we have a representative and Senator Castillo.
Oh, forgive me. So it's not 11 plus 9.
Correct.
Thank you.
And I didn't see the ones on the back until just now. That helps a lot as well. Further questions, Representative Butler.
Gracias.
De nada.
Hablaremos en español entonces.
Oh, okay. Claro.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Okay. With regard to the 300 students that participated in Eugene for the Latino Youth Summit, we've had this before, and I thought it was better attended in the past. Is this, has our attendance gone down?
I believe it has, for a number of reasons. Perhaps it was not advertised as widely, and we had a person that had been hired who simply put the summit together almost single-handed. Mr. Eduardo Angulo had been given the task of putting it forward. He did a fantastic job, and again, unfortunately, he didn't have all the assistance he could have had. It was started late, and as a result, it was not as well attended. As a matter of fact, right now is a time that it should already be started for next summer. Here we are, 1st of March, and we're already 1 month behind schedule for the next summit. I'd like to add that in addition to having put the summit together, Mr. Angulo, out of his own time and out of his own pocket, did follow-ups with all of the students throughout the state to get evaluations and feedback on the outcome of the summit.
Thank you. Well, I just was concerned about the summit decreasing in size and popularity. I noticed that all of the scholarships were offered to students pretty much throughout the valley. However, there are a couple in Hermiston, so I'm pleased to know that we did get some participation on those on the other side of the mountains.
Yes, sir. I think that they were somewhat fairly well distributed throughout the state, at least for those attending.
I just wanted to clarify the record. Now, the person that put together the Youth Summit was not the recent executive director. Is that correct? It was a contracted person?
Yes, to my knowledge, it was. He did have the assistance of the executive director, but the task was given, as I believe it would be called, a subcontractor to Mr. Eduardo Angulo.
Further questions, Representative Johnson.
Thank you. How often does your commission meet?
Our commission meets every other month.
during this period of what seems to be considerable tumult, has the commission taken an active role as the board of directors for an agency that has some obviously very significant problems? Has your commission been engaged?
Yes, ma'am, very much so. For the last year, we were having issues at everyone receiving notification about meetings, and as a result, I would say that in the last year, we were not able to have a quorum. Since the departure of our executive director, we have had three meetings that have been attended by every one of the commissioners, 100% attendance. This has been since October, and we've had three meetings since October. The first one was an emergency meeting to accept the resignation of our executive director, and we had 100% attendance, and then we had another meeting in November and another one in January, and I'm very happy to say that it was very, very well attended. It seems like the commissioners are working much harder to come together and to be completely and totally aware of the goings-on of the commission.
Thank you.
Not, Mr. Silva, do you want to introduce yourself again for the record, please, and have your testimony now.
Thank you, Madam Senator Clarno. Chair Clarno, members of the committee, esteemed colleagues and friends present today, my name is Gabriel Silva, and as of February 26, 2001, I am the interim executive director of the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. As mentioned earlier by Commissioner Dr. Debbie Trevino, the Oregon Commission on Hispanic Affairs works toward economic, social, political, and legal equality for Oregon's Hispanic growing population. In that effort, various programs and projects have been established that directly affect the community and improve livability for all Oregon residents. As a way of introducing myself to you and the experience and expertise I bring to the Commission, I've included a copy of the work we have accomplished as I manage the Multicultural Communications Program for the Department of Consumer and Business Services over the last 3 years. This is important because our accomplishments were joint efforts that allowed us to make inroads into the Hispanic Latino community. I will only touch on a few of the successes listed on the pages at the end of your packet. And I'll just go through and talk about a few of them. One of them was the radio to the community, where we arranged to have presentations live on the air in different locations, Spanish language radio stations throughout the state. We provided information about our different divisions for the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and we received live calls from the Latino population once we had provided that information. It was a very successful program. We ended up making about 60 total programs throughout the state. The amount of response that we received was great. We have statistical numbers to show how many calls we received per month. I think the first month we were receiving maybe 4 or 5 contacts, and by the end we had received as high as 76 contacts per month, so that was very successful. We also developed some videos to provide information to the community about what our divisions do, like Oregon OSHA and the Workers' Compensation Division and so on. And those are available through the Oregon OSHA Library currently. One of the things that I want to mention here also is a carousel of information where we've connected with the Mexican Consulate's Office. The Mexican Consulate's Office goes on a tour every year, kind of opening their shop at different locations. It could be Ontario or Medford or Hood River. And what they do then is they set up shops so that Mexican individuals can come and update their identification cards or their military status. And what we have done as state agencies then is set up tables of information from the Bureau of Labor and Industries, from Department of Revenue, from Department of Consumer and Business Services, about 15 to 16 different state agencies that have participated in that effort. We've also translated about 35 different documents for our state agency. And so we've been very active and proactive in what we've been accomplishing for the department there. So that is my background. And coming into the position here as executive director of the commission, I've also been noticing some of their successes. And Dr. Dubby also mentioned some of those successes, like the Youth Summit. And I won't go into that now, but, you know, that was successful because they did provide scholarships to students through the OCHA, which is the Oregon Commission on Hispanic Advancement. They are the ones that provided those scholarships. So, again, that was a joint effort that was accomplished along with the commission. I have also listed here on the first page the Carousel of Information Sessions. The Commission on Hispanic Affairs also participated in that by having information available at these locations as well. The Spanish language classes, she always mentioned, also mentioned, and also a very important component to what's happening throughout our state, where we see that a lot of the minority populations are now beginning to access our programs and services. I have included there in your packet on page 5. Page 4 actually shows the demographic changes that are happening now provided by the Employment Department. But also page 5, you'll see that many businesses are marketing to the Latino community. You'll see also that on page 6, Coin Television, the simulcast newscast in Spanish. What this is then doing is it's generating expectations and contacts from the Latino community to our agencies and to take advantage of these services. This then in turn pulls state government and the commission into the process, because then you need to have individuals who will be investigating allegations of abuse or reviewing situations where there's disparity of services and so on. So those have been some of the things that have resulted because business is proactively searching and seeking the Latino community. So all of these efforts, again, Carousel of Information, and also what the commission has been doing has increase the number of contacts coming from the community. Now we noticed and we discussed as a commission some of the problems that you are looking at now in your packets, and I'd like to just mention a few and some of the measures that we have taken, corrective measures that we have taken to address these concerns. If you look on page 2, it's the bold print process for commission improvements. Although there were many accomplishments over the past biennium, there were also areas where improvement was necessary. As previously indicated by Mr. Steve Bender, some of the issues experienced by the commission are as follows. There was a lack of accountability by the executive director regarding budget expenditures and revenues generated from the Spanish language classes. Corrective measures. The commission members confronted the situation immediately and contacted the appropriate agency representatives, for example, Department of Administrative Services, for assistance. Number 2, the flow of revenue for Spanish language classes was not tracked adequately and was sent directly to the commission office. To compound the problem, expenditures were not listed or deducted prior to further expenditures. Corrective measure. Monies for the Spanish language classes are now sent to the Department of Administrative Services, where the shared services manager, Eugene Berger, is tracking the revenues received. An expenditure log will also be utilized to determine the outstanding accounts, and future expenditures will be listed in a requisition format. Number 3, no expenditure ceiling had been established for the executive director when the commission membership would be consulted prior to expenditure. Corrective measure, a $500 ceiling was established for purchases by the executive director, and any expenditure over this amount must be approved by the commission along with a second signature by the commission chair. And then number four, communication between the executive director and the commission needed improvement. The corrective measure there is a strategic planning session. An ongoing commission meeting schedule has now been established to assure ongoing communication between the director and the commissions. We as commission members, and I as the executive director, am committed to realize a professional, effective, and efficient commission on Hispanic affairs, and the change in demographics in the U.S. and in Oregon mandate that we do so. On page three, if you will note the demographic changes that are happening at this time, in the packet of information within our budget, it mentions there the demographics regarding the Hispanic population, which listed as 200,000. It's a rapidly changing population, and you'll see here that the Hispanic population in paragraph four was at 150 in 1995, 150,000. Projections for the year 2000 were 195,000. And current estimates show approximately 213,000. If you look back up at the top of the page now, the minority population in the United States will grow from 79 million in the year 2000 to 178 million by the year 2045. This is nationwide. During these 45 years, the minority population will account for 90% of the entire increase of the USA population. I was talking earlier about the purchasing aspect, the business aspect of attracting the minority populations and the Latino population. The purchasing power of minorities 15 years and over in the USA reached $1 trillion in 1998, and it is expected to reach $13.4 trillion by 2045. From 1990 to 1998, the minority purchasing power grew 47%. Versus 18% by the white population. And so this demographic information above shows why it is appealing for business to market to minority communities, and especially the Hispanic Latino population. The Commission on Hispanic Affairs is an essential office for assuring that this community is served, protected, and acknowledged. Translation of information into Spanish, more and more state agencies are requesting that now. Having worked for the Department of Consumer and Business Services, I can see that that is something that will continue to blossom and grow. And even more so after Governor Clinton's Executive Order 13166, Executive Order 13166, regarding limited English proficiency individuals. This order basically requires any agency who has received federal funding or is receiving federal funding that they provide meaningful access to persons with limited English proficiency. So once again, they need to provide meaningful access to persons with limited English proficiency. So we'll see that it's going to grow. The Commission on Hispanic Affairs will be instrumental in assisting state agencies in complying with this executive order, and that's happening now. At the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, we are already receiving requests for translations of documents, rules, statutes, orders, and so on. At DCBS, Department of Consumer Business Services, many of our documents are now translated into Spanish. Regarding commission funding and support, with stable funding, the Commission on Hispanic Affairs will be enabled to continue its mission to assist Hispanic Latino Oregonians in attaining social, political, economic, and legal equality in Oregon, as well as continue to provide valuable assistance to local, state, and national governmental agencies. And I would also now like to step aside and allow some of our guests, some of our individuals who have participated with the commission to provide testimony at this time.
Ask you, Mr. Silva, to we're going to take a 5-minute break, and there may be some questions of the panel members, so if you'd hang around a minute, we'll get right back to you in 5 minutes.
Thank you.